In Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll be reading verse 4 to the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And all the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens, and the works of thine hands, they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall grow old, as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Let us pray. Loving Father, we give thanks to you and ask for your blessing upon your word. Help us to see the supremacy of Christ. Help us to see how much better he is than the angels, and that he is the Son of God with glory, for he is the truly only begotten Son of the Heavenly Father, sent forth to be the Savior of sinners. And we praise you and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. We find that in this chapter, of course, in the book of Hebrews, we find the priesthood of Christ, not only this chapter, but throughout the book, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth in his supremacy as being greater than all systems and covenants before his time. That he came in the fulfillment of the very word of God. The proposition, which is very short and is contained in Hebrews 1:1-3, reveals the majesty and the preeminence of Christ. And then the remaining part of this chapter shows forth the proof of the arguments which support the proposition of the supremacy or the preeminence of Christ. And so as we begin in verse 4, we find that it begins by showing the superiority of the Son over the angels. And because he has a more excellent name than they, than that is the angels, we find in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, that it begins by saying, Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, the angels, For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And so the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ and the preeminence of Christ is truly set forth in that this relationship that Jesus has to the Father is one of being a son, in the sense of a priority position with him. That is, that he was with the Father in the beginning, and that he was sent forth in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, that he would be revealed as the Son of God. And so for substantiating his having obtained a more excellent name than the angels, we find this argument being then set forth here. As we drop down to verse 13, it goes on to say, "To which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?'" In other words, we see this close relationship that the Son has to the Father. He is invited to sit at the right hand of God after he has fulfilled this great plan of redemption, showing that he is much better than the angels. And so the supremacy of Christ is an argument in the Scripture supported by the revelation of the Word of God. And so he is much more excellent than they in name. In name. Being made so much better than the angels, he hath obtained by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they, than the angels. So the name of Jesus is better than the angels. When we think of the angels, we may think of these created beings with a certain glory and radiance about them, messengers of God, if you will, and that they are sent forth as ministering spirits to minister. Yet we find that the name of Jesus is much greater, much higher in the sense of the glory of God to which is lent to the name than the angels. And so the glory of God is set forth in this very thing. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels." This is referring to Jesus. "He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted." This was the ministry of Christ. That unlike the angels who came to be ministering spirits, Jesus came to take upon himself the seed of Abraham, that is human flesh. And not just any flesh, but of the very line of David, of the very line of the promised seed. And as we know in the Old Testament, the God the Father did promise through Abraham that there should be a promised seed, and that through the seed of Abraham should come the promise of the Messiah, the promise of the salvation of Israel. And this is that seed, if you will. This is that manifestation of that manifesting of the Son of God, of the divine seed, of the promised seed, that he should be that which God promised to Abraham. And so he is made of the seed of Abraham. And though he is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, yet his name is greater than the angels. For he came to fulfill the very divine purpose of God in relation to salvation. And so through him would come salvation to the ends of the earth. And we find that this great work of redemption then would come through Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 3, concerning again the sense of the preexistence or the supremacy of Christ and of the position and place of Christ, it speaks of Christ as likened unto the type of Melchizedek, who was without father, without mother, without end of days. And that's where we begin in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And so we find that Jesus comes after the very type of Melchizedek, who was seen as this eternal high priest, as this priest of God, who was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, and was made like unto the Son of God. And so it is Jesus came, named as the only begotten Son of God, showing also the greatness of his name and of his preeminence and of his supremacy, and having a name that was above every other name. And so because he has a more excellent name than the angels. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And so this day have I begotten thee. That comes out of Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. And when we look at that verse in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7, it reads, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In other words, showing again the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that one who was named by God the Father as his son, as begotten of him, and that he should be a king, as it were, of the earth in that day when he should come to establish his kingdom. And that the supremacy of Christ is over the whole earth, even that the kings of the earth should fear him. For his name is greater than even the angels who were created as messengers sent forth by God. He is fulfilled at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whereby the Father declared, that is, made manifest his sonship, and revealed also by his life and ministry of humiliation, etc. And so we find in Acts chapter 12 and verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So here in the book of Acts, it also mentions Psalm 2. This day have I begotten thee. And again, the resurrection of Christ reveals the greatness of that name and of that person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Again, the resurrection pointing up the greatness and the supremacy of the Son of God and of the power of God which was in him, that he is greater than the angels in his name and in his sonship. Because the angels of God also adore him. He is greater, he is to be worshipped, he is to be honored. And as we begin in this verse, made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And so we see also in this next verse, in verse 6, he is greater again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of course, as you remember, at the Annunciation, an angel came and announced to Mary that she would bear a son, and that his name should be called Jesus. And that the angels did go to the shepherds and reveal to the shepherds that the Christ child should be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And that these praises, the praises of God, should be given unto him who would be born. The glory in the highest. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And let all the angels of God worship him. And so he is better than the angels in name and in glory, for the angels worship the Son. But we do not find the angels themselves receiving worship. That is, whenever anyone tried to worship angels, the angel always says, "Don't worship me, I'm not God." Because they were not created to be worshipped, but rather to be messengers of God. Also we see in verse 7, because the angels were created by him. The angels were created by him. So Jesus has a better name than they. The angels were to worship Jesus. And then thirdly, the angels were created by him in verse 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And so it is that the Son of God, having such an elevated position as Son of God, is made greater than the angels. The reference here to the angels, or spirits, or winds, uses his angels as winds in that sense, or names them as winds. His ministers, a kind of a, we might say, there's a certain glory about them, a certain a radiance about them, and we may even use other terms that would show the kind of the lightning of them, if you might use that term, in the sense that they are full of this brightness and glory of God. You may remember, perhaps a good illustration of this would be Elijah, how he was taken up in a chariot of fire. And when we think about that, many believe that that chariot of fire were actually angels who came and swept him away. As the angels are in the brightness and the glory of God, made in such a fashion as to do the work of God. And so they are not dark, we might say, but they are bright. They are not rather passive, but they are glorious. They are angels, which are ministering spirits of God. And so there is a sense of awe and wonder about angels. In fact, whenever we see angels, and typically in artistic rendering, or if we see them in some kind of a graphic illustration, we always find them with a certain glow or glorious presence about the angels. And so angels have a certain glorious presence in that regard. And we find that he maketh his angels ministers directing his power. And so we would say, well, an angel has to be a very powerful being. It's certainly not one without strength. because God sends them forth to glorify Him or to do His bidding. And if you go into the Old Testament, you find certain passages indicating that as the angels went forth, they did great things. They may have pronounced judgment. They may have brought certain fantastic and exciting revelation. They may have done something which was quite glorious in itself. As we think of the angels, we think of an angel sitting upon the resurrection stone at the sepulcher of Jesus, and how he is full of glory and brightness. When we think of angels, we think of this sense of God directing his power through them. And so they have this power, if you will, this glory, if you will. But all of this comes from the creative genius of God himself, remembering that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all uniquely qualified in bringing forth these ministering spirits. And that's why we read in verse 7, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits or winds, and his ministers as flame of fire." And so we get this view that they are a very powerful creature of God. And most people perhaps would like to see an angel. But one thing is for sure, if you ever do see one, you probably will recognize him as being an angel. There won't be much difficulty probably in that, for angels stand out as being these kinds of created beings of God, even of Jesus Christ, that he sends forth to do his bidding. And so they perform his will. He commissions them to do certain things. And in his purpose, he maketh his angels these kinds of spirits. He maketh them of a certain nature that they do the work of God. In Psalm 18:10, "And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, and he did fly upon the wings of the wind, and made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him." And so God utilizes these creatures, these angels, for his own glory, and he uses them for this purpose. And here the cherubs are mentioned as wings of the wind. And so here again in Hebrews 1:14, they are not all ministering spirits. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And we even therefore credit that angels are somehow involved with us. Even as it is sometimes referred to, that angels watch over us, and that they are protecting angels, that, in other words, there is certain obligation and duty that angels perform to us and for God, and that these are sent forth to minister, and that God did create them. Jesus Christ did create them, and so he is much better than they, better in name, better in glory, and better in purpose, for the angels are created for and by God to do a certain thing, but Jesus Christ was not created, but rather he was brought into existence through the seed of Abraham, that he might fulfill the great plan of redemption. And then fourthly, because in his human nature he was endowed with greater gifts than the angels. Greater gifts than the angels. In verse 8 and 9, "But unto the angels he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so here we find that God has created his Son in that sense that he sent him forth with a divine purpose. Because the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself human flesh, he took upon himself this human flesh that he might be the fullness of God bodily. He was endowed with greater gifts than the angels were endowed. And so we should remember of the greatness of God in his Son in this way. A scepter of righteousness, literally a rod of judgment or rectitude. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling this very thing. Thy throne, O God, is forever, a scepter of righteousness. In verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so we find that God's anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ was unique. He is anointed the Messiah. The word Christ means anointed. Jesus, Jesus, Christ, anointed, Lord, Kurios. And so he is the anointed of God, and that he is sent forth to fulfill the very righteousness of God upon this very behalf, that we might know the righteousness of God through Christ our Lord. And so God hath anointed him, whereby Christ is addressed as God. This is probably a very good representation of this elevation, this supremacy, this preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Son of God. The angels are called sons of God many times, sons of, but no, Jesus is called Son of God. And of course we typically capitalize the word Son and of God as well. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ has this high priority position as Son of God above all others. And he is anointed of God in this manner. The oil of gladness is upon him. Remember in the Old Testament, the priests were anointed that they might be used of God in a very special manner in relationship to the temple offerings and sacrifices, etc. The kings were anointed by the priest at the will of God, the prophet or priest at the will of God, and God would tell either a prophet or a priest to anoint, and they would go forth and they would anoint, and then that person would be recognized as an individual who was a servant of God. As Saul was anointed, and then for Samuel, and then later we find that Samuel anoints David, and at other times we find Elijah, for instance, going forth and anointing Hazael or Jehu and various other people who did certain anointings for God, that these people became servants of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ is anointed of God himself. Nobody came to anoint Jesus. Jesus was anointed of God. He is sent forth as the anointed of God. And so he comes in the fulfillment of the very promise of the anointing of God. So he is greater than the angels in name. He is greater than the angels in glory. He is greater than the angels because the angels were created by him. And he is sent forth as that one who is begotten of God in the highest priority position with God. And because in his human nature he was endowed then with these greater gifts than the angels. The angels were not told to sit at the right hand of God. But Jesus Christ is told to do that. Look at verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. And so we find this enduring nature of the Son of God. He was there at creation. It is said of him in the book of Colossians, by him all things consist. And so we find the very nature of the Son of God as being that reflecting the Godhead. And therefore we call him the God-man, because he was made of the seed of Abraham, but he himself was greater than Abraham, greater than the angels. And he did not have human father or human mother in that sense of lineage that bears him back to one person, but rather God promised that he would come. God anointed him that he should be the Son, known as the Son of God, and in the fullness of time he came forth born of a virgin without a human father. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is full of glory and is greater than the angels. Look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 13. We read 12. But to which of the angels said he at any time, set on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And by all accounts then we see that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is so much greater than the angels. For now Jesus has this priority position with the Father. He will be sitting at the right hand of the Father after the crucifixion and resurrection and subsequently the ascension. And of course we know that after those things took place, he did ascend up out of their presence, even in their very presence. And he did go to the right hand of the Father. And it is there now he has this glorious position with the Father. And so this quotation, which is taken from the scripture, I believe comes out of Psalm 110 and verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ has this glorious position with the Father. But which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And so the image is taken from this wonderful passage in the scriptures, Psalm 110, revealing the true conquering nature of the Son of God, that he would come with great glory and great power and assume that throne. Also in the book of Joshua, we read this, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of the kings. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. As you know, Joshua is also a type of Christ in his name, meaning Jeshua and Savior, or the Lord is salvation. we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured in this even. And as Joshua went into the land of Canaan, as he went up against these various enemies of the Lord, and they did conquer those nations and became victorious, so he was also established the kingdom in righteousness and established the kingdom in the name of the Lord. And so there is a highly prestigious, preeminent picture being drawn for us of the Lord Jesus Christ in this, that his name is greater than the angels, the glory ascribed to him is greater than the angels. He is not created as the angels are created, but rather he has a preeminent position with the Father from creation. His nature was given to him in that he took upon him a human nature, though he himself is divine. And so we have the marrying of the two, the divine and the human nature. And he is endowed with these greater gifts. He is eternal, verses 10 and 12. And because he is more highly exalted in verse 13, we find that he is above or preeminent in all his servanthood and anointing for God. Because the angels are only servants of God, but rather Jesus is the Son of God. And so the passage concludes in verse 14, are they, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? But of course, Jesus Christ is not just a ministering spirit. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he came forth to bring salvation, not just to minister for them who shall be heirs of. No, he came to bring salvation unto us. And so we find that the proposition in this passage is to show the majesty and the preeminence of Christ. The proof of it in this chapter is this, that he is greater than the angels, and so that he deserves our worship and our praise. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for your grace to us and ask for your blessing, Father. Pray that we may bless the name of Jesus and always speak his name with praise and adoration, giving glory to thee, O God, for you sent him forth to be the Savior of sinners and made him, in that he would become in all humility the sacrifice for our sin. And yet he remains the Son of God, and now ascended to your very right hand, making intercession for us. We thank you, Father, for your love to us and for your grace in Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.